I'm thankful for the opportunity to be with you. And I think this is the first Sunday night that I've taught here this year, or will teach here this year. Not that I haven't been teaching you in other ways since you've been here, but I'm thankful for the leadership on this campus, because I think from my spiritual feeling of the campus at this time, it's just tremendous here. So I'm real grateful for John and Pat and their leadership, and for Dave and Judy, and for Mike and Cindy. I'm also thankful for our staff, plus all of our workers and helpers that are here. Well, on this wonderful night just preceding Thanksgiving, which is scheduled for this week, I'd like to teach you a little bit on the subject of Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is more than just one day a year. Thanksgiving is a day-by-day way of life. The proclamation by our president may be a reminder to some to be thankful, especially those who ordinarily and naturally forget or do not believe in God's benefits. As Reverend Lynn read with you Psalm 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." In verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Thanksgiving, my people, means to give thanks. The Hebrew word for thanks is the word yada, spelled Y-A-D-A-H in Hebrew, yada. Now, to give thanks or to be thankful is a confession or an acknowledgement of benefits. And wherever there is a confession or an acknowledgement of benefits, it naturally follows that there must be praise and thanksgiving. The first usage in the Word of God is always very important, class. And the first usage of this tremendous truth is found in 2 Samuel 22, and that's where I'd like for you to turn this evening. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him, David, out of the hand of all of his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul." You may wonder why it separates all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Because Saul was a friendly enemy. One time he was his friend, and the next minute he'd try to kill him. Verse 2, "And he said, the Lord is my rock." And that is something to be thankful for, class. The Lord is my rock, the Lord is my fortress, and the Lord is my what? Deliverer. So thanksgiving is thanksgiving in the light of those tremendous truths that you will see as I develop this teaching with you tonight. Verse 3. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield. God is my shield. He is the one in whom I believe. It's my believing shield. He is my shield. And He is the horn of my what? My high tower and my what? So He's my shield, He's my salvation, He's my refuge. And for that, I am thankful. Not only that, He is my what? Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Verse 5. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. It was not only the Philistines class, but it was Saul. Floods of ungodly men made me afraid, made David to fear. The sorrows of hell, death, compassed me about, and the snares, the trap of death, prevented me. You know, it really made him feel badly. His enemies, and especially Saul, who was supposed to be his friend. And so David felt very badly about this. In my distress, verse 7, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. Into His ears is a figure of speech, of course, you know that. But in my distress, I called upon the Lord. He gave God thanks for the protection, not only for in the present, but for the future. And the Lord heard his cry in his ears. Look at verse 20 in this chapter. And He, the Lord, brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. He delivered me because He delighted in me. It's His inheritance in the saints, God's inheritance in you, that protects and delivers us. According to Ephesians 1:18, it's the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Because God has an inheritance in you, He delivers you because He is delighted in you because you are His child. And for that, we ought to be thankful. Verse 25. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness. Not which David worked out for himself, but which God reckoned him, according to my cleanness in His eyesight. We are thankful for God's righteousness. That is our righteousness in Him. Keep your finger here in 2 Samuel and go to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians class, chapter 5. Verse 21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of what? God in him. That's our righteousness in him. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness. In verse 25 of 2 Samuel. According to my cleanness in his eyesight. You are his son or his daughter, and he has made you righteous, and he has an inheritance in you. Therefore, he has delivered you according to your righteousness, which he's given you, according to the cleanness in his eyesight. And how frequently people forget this. They live far more in condemnation than they do in the deliverance and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 29 in 2 Samuel 22. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. He enlightens our darkness because he has an inheritance in us. We are his sons and we are his daughters. He is our lamp. And the Lord enlightens my darkness. Reminds me of Ephesians 1 again. The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That you may know. Not question, but that you may know. That's why David was thankful. Because the Lord hath recompensed me according to his righteousness. According to the way in which David was clean in God's eyesight. And because of verse 29, God was his lamp, and the Lord was the one who lightened his darkness. And that's why, class, at this Thanksgiving time again, all of these things we can be thankful for, the Lord does for us too. Look at verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. This is the perfect word's way, God's way. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, that means shield, of believing to all them who do one thing, what? Trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. How thankful we ought to be to God for being our strength and power, and for God to make our way perfect, class. And here's that great 34th verse. He, God, maketh my feet like hinds' feet. A hind is a mother deer, D-E-E-R, a mother deer. And God maketh my feet like a mother deer, and he setteth me upon my high places. They tell me scientifically that a mother deer is one of the most sure-footed creatures in existence. That a mother deer going up the side of a mountaintop with her little fawn following after will check out all the rocks and put her feet exactly where it's secure. And then the little baby deer, the fawn, comes up behind and puts her little feet exactly where Mama put hers, and she'll never fall down into the ravine below. God has made our feet or my feet like hinds' feet, that every step we take, we're not going to slip down into the valley below or into the ravine and get killed and destroyed. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. And that's one of the great things in life, kids, where you just have to realize that when you are on the integrity and accuracy of God's word and you walk in the light of that word, that your feet are like hinds' feet. Wherever you step, it will be secure. You're not going to roll down in the ravine below, and you're not going to get killed and destroyed. You're not going to get hurt, because he's going to walk with you and protect you every which way. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and he setteth me upon my high places. He'll take you to the top of the mountain, set you upon your high places. That's something wonderful to be thankful for in our lives, class. Look at verse 50. When he finishes all of this, he says, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, the nations, the Gentiles, and I will sing praises unto thy name. For all of these things that are set forth here in 2 Samuel 22, he says, Lord, I give thanks to you, and I'm going to sing praises unto your name. Whenever you're thankful, you've always got a song in your heart. Chapter 23. Now these be the last words of David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. These are the last words of David. His word was in my tongue. In order for the word to be in your tongue, you have to put the word in your mind. You put on the word. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, and then you speak it forth. And I'm thankful for that word of God being able to live in your mind richly by the teaching ministry that's available to you. And I'm thankful that you can speak it. And I love that third verse where it says, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. The word is fear, his word reverence. All leadership must be just. And whoever rules, has a ruler is one who has oversight. He's an overseer. He has to oversee in the reverence of God. Fear of God is the reverence of God, ruling in the reverence of God. Because no man can rule with any his own self or his own worthiness. He has to rule according to with the respect of God and his word. And for that, I'm thankful. In the book of Romans, that 50th verse in 2 Samuel 22 is that first usage of the word yada that I told you about. That's why I read so much from 2 Samuel chapter 22 to show you the greatness of thanks. You know, all of us in here tonight believe that everybody ought to be real thankful and they ought to live a life of thanksgiving. But not everybody in the United States or the world agrees with that. They don't act that way, at least. And I thought how wonderfully, accurately, Reverend Lynn taught the college and the core the other night from Romans. And I thought on this night when I'm thinking of thanksgiving is thanks living. I thought of the greatness of what Reverend Lynn so beautifully expounded to the core and the college the other night. Tonight I want to begin with verse 20 of chapter 1 of Romans. For the invisible things of Him of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every man in this world is without an excuse. And here's the reason why. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. And there's the key. When you're not thankful, you lose the whole thing. Because when you're not thankful, you become vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was what? Darkened. Became vain in their imaginations. The word imaginations classes reasonings. They became vain, conceited in their reasonings. And their foolish heart was darkened. But they kept right on in verse 22. They professed themselves to be what? Wise. But they became what? Fools. And when they became fools, because they did not glorify Him as God and they never were thankful, then they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, they made themselves an idol. Wherefore, verse 22, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, since they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than what? Whenever people begin to serve the creature more than the Creator, they'll no longer be thankful. They will have forgotten all the benefits. Who is blessed forever. Amen. Unrighteousness is the wrong way. It's not the right way. And Reverend Lynn showed this to you, core and college and staff, so beautifully the other night when he went through this whole section in Romans. Always loved that Psalm 103. It simply says, forget not all His what? None of us could remember them all. I could not remember all the benefits that God has given me. But I saw some of the benefits in 2 Samuel, see others in Romans here, and a lot of other places. But this Thanksgiving time again, there's so many, many things we ought to be thankful for. And God said, just don't forget all the benefits. He never asked us to remember them all, because I just know there's nobody living that could remember everything that God has blessed you with this day. How many of you have been blessed with your right thumb today and been thankful for it? How about your little toe? I doubt it. But you see, if that thumb of yours had really been hurt today, or if you'd have lost it in an accident, you'd most likely have been thankful that once upon a time you had one, and you'd be thankful to have it back. Likewise with your little toe. It may be a little member of your body, but if it was hurting tonight, you would know it was there. Most of you don't even know it's there tonight. It isn't hurting. See, there are just so many things that we ought to be thankful for, but God says you can't remember them all, just don't forget them all. Forget not all His benefits. I know here on this campus, like at all of our locations, we're always thankful for the food we eat, and that food is made available to us. We are thankful for the people whose loving and kind hands make them. And you know this bug that's going around here, I don't know any reason for it either, but you know, we still got eternal life, so quit complaining. And I heard, you know, it might be somebody passing along through food or something. I think it's a bunch of baloney. Because we thank God for the food. The food is done properly, and I don't think anybody can hurt anybody through the food that's served here. So I quit stewing about that. But I remember in the Gospels in Matthew where Jesus Christ took the 7 loaves, He gave, and the few fishes, He gave thanks, He blessed it, and then He served it to the people. So we're thankful for the food. In the Gospel of John, chapter 11, I'll just pick up a few of these things I've thought about in thankfulness in my conclusion here of your teaching tonight. John 11, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the Lazarus was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. See, Jesus Christ was thankful that the Father heard His prayer. That's what I mean. Thanksgiving is thanks living. There is no thanksgiving without thanks living. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 4, I thank my God always on what? For what? The grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor. It's something you got to be thankful for every day. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, I am thankful for God's mercy, and I'm thankful for God's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is withholding a judgment. So I'm thankful for the grace which is given you by Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 14. You all know this one. I thank my God, verse 18, I speak with tongues more than y'all. See, I'm always thankful for the God-given ability to speak in tongues, which I know is to pray perfectly, all those other things. So in my thanks living, it's because I am thankful. I thank my God that I speak in tongues. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gifts bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And I'm real thankful for that in my life all the time, because of the thousands of people like you across the world who every day pray for me and love me enough and love God enough to remember me and to lift me in prayer to Him. Thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And I'm sure all of our leadership, Board of Trustees and all of our leadership, like here at the campus, and our Twig leaders, all feel the same. They're real thankful for that. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable, and the word unspeakable is priceless gift. And how thankful I am for His wonderful gift of His wonderful Son and the ministries that He made available. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, even the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, even the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm always thankful for everything that God has made available to us, to our ministry, and to our people. And I'm always thankful in the name, which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And for that I too am truly grateful and thankful. And I do thank my God upon every remembrance of you. The core, the college, the staff, the leaves on the tree of life, the wows. Every day I do this. Because you cannot have a thanksgiving without thanksgiving. You have to live it in order to really be thankful. The proof of your thanksgiving is that you are a living example and epistle of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that do what? And for that I'm real grateful and real thankful. Thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of B.P. Whirlwill or Reverend Lynn, but as it is in truth, you received it as the what? Word of God. And the proof that it's the word of God, it effectually worketh in you that do one thing, what? Believe. So for that I'm real thankful. Daily and especially now too. I'd like to close tonight with that great record from Colossians chapter 3. If you're going to be thankful, you have to have some things put up in your mind and you're not forgetting all His benefits. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of what? Mercies. Eight things you have to do to really be thankful as the elect of God. Mercies, number one. Kindness, number two. Humbleness of mind, three. Meekness, four. Long-suffering, five. Verse 13. Forbearing one another. That's number six. Forgiving one another is number seven. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity. That's number eight. Charity is agapeo, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, which is the bond, the cohesive element, the bond, that which binds things together. It's the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God, verse 15, class, let the peace of what? Rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. That's why thanksgiving to me, class, is thanksgiving. And just never forget all His benefits. And remember, you are God's inheritance, and therefore God will do His utmost for you. All you have to do is not just forget everything He's done for you, okay? Thank you, Father, for the privilege of teaching your people tonight. Thank you for your goodness, your love and grace. And thank you for this wonderful time of thanksgiving for all of our people throughout the entire world. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.